Democrats are feeling more hopeful they'll be able to hold off huge losses in the House, especially after the results came in last night for a special election in Alaska. Democrat Mary Peltola officially beat her famous Republican rival, Sarah Palin. And it's not just the House. Over in the Senate, Republican leader Mitch McConnell is lowering expectations, saying that control of the chamber next year is a toss-up. So let's take a look now at three close races that could decide whether Democrats keep that narrow edge in the Senate or lose it. We're going to start in Pennsylvania. Katie Meyer is a political reporter for WHYY in Philadelphia. And Katie, there's an open seat in your state. A poll out yesterday puts Democrat John Fetterman ahead of the Republican celebrity Dr. Mehmet Oz. But Fetterman's health has been a real serious issue. Is his campaign back up and running?
So kind of a complicated answer to that. Fetterman, as many people know, had a stroke right before the primary election, and his campaign was a little slow to publicize that, slow to share that it has had some lingering effects. So Fetterman's speech and auditory processing ability is not where it was. And that has affected his campaigning. He has steered clear of debates so far. He won't commit to debates with Oz. And he's also kind of limited his in-person events, his TV appearances. It's had an impact.
There was this video now that Oz posted of himself grocery shopping, trying to make a point about inflation and food prices. It was one of the key moments of the campaign so far. Let's listen.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité, right? So here's a broccoli. That's $2, not a ton of broccoli there.
So that video went viral. Fetterman used it to paint Oz as out of touch, and then Oz had this response on Newsmax.
So I rolled my sleeves up my whole life. I've taken care of patients, saved lives, invented devices. I've started foundations.
So Donald Trump is going to have a rally in Pennsylvania this weekend to help Oz. But how is his campaign going over with voters there in Pennsylvania?
Well, one of the big things with Oz, this whole campaign, and Fetterman has kind of alluded to this in the crudité dialogue and in other ways on social media, but you know, he's not from Pennsylvania. He moved here pretty recently. That's been a real sticking point. I think some Republicans think he's in it for the wrong reasons. Voters who I've talked to are a little bit skeptical of him. And so that is something that I think his campaign thinks that Donald Trump and, you know, clear endorsements by Donald Trump can help with. Fetterman, for his part, he has conducted a lot of this campaign on social media. He's really been hitting Oz first as sort of an out-of-touch New Jerseyan coming into Pennsylvania to run for Senate for some reason, and then saying that Oz has been really cruel about his stroke and has been inconsiderate about that.
Both parties really want to win this seat. What do you think the race is going to come down to?
It's going to be close. You know, there are a couple regions in this race that have been key swing regions in Pennsylvania, and I think, you know, where Oz is going, the Scranton area, is one of them. The Northeast is a real swing district. It went for Trump. These key counties went for Trump in 2016, Biden in 2020. And so it's going to be those marginal voters in the Northeast, in the Philadelphia suburbs, who can either get on board with Fetterman, who's more progressive, or Oz, who they may have doubts about.
Katie Meyer is a political reporter for WHYY in Philadelphia. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to bring in a reporter from Arizona who is following the Senate race in that state. Andrew Oxford covers politics for Arizona Public Media. The race between Mark Kelly, the incumbent Democrat, and his Republican rival, Blake Masters, has just gotten changed from a toss-up to leans Democratic. That is from the University of Virginia Center for Politics. Let's bring in Andrew Oxford. Andrew, are you here?
Hey, Peter.
All right. So Mark Kelly recently asked on CNN if he wanted President Biden to come to Arizona to campaign for him. And this is what he said.
Hey, I'll welcome anybody to come to Arizona, you know, travel around the state at any time, as long as I'm here.
So Kelly may be the incumbent, but he still faces a pretty tough race here. What's the biggest challenge that he's up against?
I think that's a good illustration of how Kelly, you know, faces this challenge of maintaining a sort of independent image and keeping a distance, at least at times, from the White House. You know, Republicans want to paint him as too close to Joe Biden. And although the president's approval numbers are improving, they're still not fantastic. So to that end, Kelly's really been touting endorsements from Republicans. I mean, I was watching TV last night and saw a commercial with the mayor of Mesa, one of the state's biggest cities, and long a sort of Republican stronghold. And he's there backing Kelly. It underscores how this race may be decided not by high turnout among one side or another, but by independents and even some disaffected Republicans.
All right, let's talk about his opponent. In an interview with local news, 12 News, Blake Masters, who has been endorsed by Donald Trump, denied a report that he had scrubbed his website of language that described himself as 100% pro-life.
Go look at my website. Go look at my website right now. It is the most detailed, most pro-life agenda of any Senate candidate running nationwide.
All right, so this is going to be a tough issue for Republicans. How is Blake Masters navigating the challenges of his campaign?
Well, yeah, screenshots are forever. You know, NBC News reported last week that the Masters campaign had edited the section on his website, right, about abortion, no longer describes him as 100% pro-life or as supporting a fetal personhood amendment, and instead it describes him as supporting a ban on abortions later in pregnancy and backing other measures like the Hyde Amendment. But, you know, look, all this comes as officials move to ban virtually all abortions in Arizona anyway. The state's Republican Attorney General is asking a judge here in Tucson to reinstate Arizona's old pre-Roe ban on abortion, and we could get a decision just a few weeks before early voting really begins. I don't know that voters angered by the state taking away their rights are going to really try to parse some sort of murky platform here. So Masters has really tried to turn this around on Mark Kelly and paint him as, you know, too extreme. He's claimed that, you know, Kelly supports abortion up until the moment of birth. But look, PolitiFact has already been over this and rated that claim mostly false. I'm not really sure how much those attacks are going to stick.
One final question for you. I know Republican fundraisers across the country have been watching this race very closely. Who has the money edge?
Kelly, far and away at this point. I mean, his war chest is just overflowing. They had $24 million on hand at last check. Masters had a fraction of that, just about $1.5 million. But candidates in really competitive Senate races can usually count on their party spending money to back them up, for example, the Senate Leadership Fund, a super PAC linked to Mitch McConnell that gets involved in these sort of competitive races. But that group dropped about $8 million worth of TV, radio, and digital ads. It had lined up to support Masters' campaign. There's going to be a real question of how much cash they're going to be able to have to really power through this really expensive contest.
All right. Andrew Oxford is a political reporter at Arizona Public Media in Tucson, Arizona. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Now to Georgia. Senator Raphael Warnock, a Democrat, is locked in a tight race there with former University of Georgia football star Herschel Walker, who's a Republican. WABE politics reporter Raul Bali joins us now from Atlanta. Hi, Raul.
Hello.
So Herschel Walker is a first-time candidate backed by former President Trump, problematic in a number of ways, a little bit prone to scandal, and yet Warnock is not running away with this. Why not?
I think the reality on the ground is Georgia's a battleground state. Maybe not exactly a 50-50 state, but you've got a split state that you're working with here.
Okay. Democratic voter Emily Fultz from Sandy Springs told you she's worried because of Walker's wide name recognition in the state.
For a voter who might not be educated, who might be a UGA football fan and just see Herschel Walker's name on the ballot, that might be something that, you know, if they don't know any better, they might just pick him.
Look, college football is king here in the South, especially University of Georgia football, where, you know, Herschel Walker was one of the greatest ever. And it's one of the things, one of the many interesting things we're trying to figure out is what is the effect of Herschel Walker's name recognition in a general election? Look back in the May primary, he got 68% of the vote in a six-candidate field that included the popular state agriculture commissioner.
Are they going to debate? There's been a lot of back and forth here and finger-pointing about the one person or the other refusing to do so.
So let me start off with a bit of a disclosure. I'm the co-chair of the Atlanta Press Club debates, which is one of the debate series that's trying to get the candidates on stage. So at the moment, we don't know. You know, initially there were three debates proposed on television, which Senator Warnock accepted. Then there was a fourth debate that was proposed, which Walker accepted. both candidates have not accepted just one debate. And the key differences between the debates are, you know, whether topics will be shared ahead of time, whether there'll be direct questioning between the candidates, also whether the Libertarian candidate, Chase Oliver, would appear in any of those debates.
So what do you think this might come down to? Will it come down to name recognition, maybe turnout?
It's all going to be about turnout. You know, the most interesting thing that I'm digging through the polling numbers, and I'm bringing in the other major race that we have going on here in the state of Georgia, the race for Georgia governor, is the incumbent governor, Brian Kemp, is getting a certain percentage of vote. And what you keep seeing in the polls is Herschel Walker's losing 2 or 3% of those voters, whether they're Republican voters or independent voters. I think the question really in the end, when I'm trying to figure out what's going on with either undecided voters or Republican voters who haven't decided to vote, is who's going to show up to vote. It could be that Republican voters decide to show up and vote, but then skip that race. I've seen that happen in races in the past with candidates they may not like, or will they vote for the Libertarian candidate? So it's really going to be about turning out their base voters on both sides, and then whatever that independent or undecided voter, which side they break.
Raul Bali is politics reporter for WABE in Atlanta. Thanks.
No problem.